In other words, the authentic Catholic truth, for which there are many norms, the one nowadays, and it is so dramatically illustrated. In fact, the media in today's world are, if you wish, publicizing the indispensability of the teaching of the Bishop of Rome as never before in 2,000 years of Christian history. Right? Who alone stood up at Cairo? And I'm getting feedback. Some private communications. What happened at Cairo? Anger is nothing. Blistering hatred, a language used by those who just hated what the Pope is teaching and his representatives kept repeating in Cairo. In other words, you can recognize the truth, well, by identifying its opposite. Thanks for the question.
Father Hardin, thank you for coming. How can those of us without children assist parents in teaching the faith to their kids?
I see in every way that it is possible. First of all, take myself. I have no physical offspring of my own. Well, how do I assist parents as teachers? Been doing it for years. In fact, I have a special vow, a fourth vow of obedience to the Holy Father, of teaching religion to children. How do you do it? Well, what I try to do is to train those people who in turn will either themselves train the parents or be the parents. And I'm talking now to either actual or will be, shall I use this subjunctive, would be parents. Moreover, and this is an apostolate that I highly commend to all of you. In fact, more than ever, to those of you who are not, say, parents with children at home. Writing. The apostolate of writing is so basic. And when you see what widespread use is made of writing and publication by the enemies of Christ, and how indifferent those who have the true faith can be to propagating what they know. You want to get up on the tallest building in town, the Empire State Building, or the top of the Himalayas. Would you please write and communicate? While in Scranton, Pennsylvania, over the past weekend, sitting at table, the lady next to me told me, "Father, I think you would enjoy this story." A lady in South Africa thought she had a communication from God. A staunch Calvinist, anti-Catholic in South Africa. The voice told her, "Become a Catholic." Well, so she'd never done this before in her life. She went to find a Catholic priest and felt silly and embarrassed. told the priest what had happened. And the woman, by the way, is a professional. I think teacher at one of the colleges in South Africa. So the priest gave her a book. Told her to read it. And in this book, she says, the book has got to be convincing. Otherwise, I'm not interested. So the priest said, read the book. Let me know if you're convinced. 2 weeks later, she called up the priest. I'm convinced when I can be received in the Catholic Church. It took another 3 months. Needless to say, the book was the Catholic Catechism. So I wrote a little note to this lady in South Africa. Right. That's spelled W-R-I-T-E. And after it is an exclamation mark. Right. That's the imperative. Right. People ask me, how do you become an author? My writing. Oh, of course, but how do you become an author? I said, right. Most people talk at least 10 times, some 100 times as much as they write. Of course, pray for the parents. Organize the parents. And one thing I should tell you. This weekend, on Saturday, I'll have 2 young parents come in from Chicago. But there are 8 children. The oldest is Jessica. 8 children. Jessica is 16. But it's quite a chore just to feed those children. At the same time, homeschool them. Help parents teach their children. Any more questions?
Father Hardin, how can parents and teachers in these immoral times help their children to grow in the virtue of purity, of chastity?
All that I've said so far stands. And in a way, that's the hardest part. In other words, if you're going to teach these virtues in any age, and surely in our age, you must, and there's no option, you must practice these virtues, if need be, heroically yourself. However, there is more to it than that. If parents are going to teach their children purity or chastity, whatever word you use, they must take stock, the parents must take stock of the sex more than preoccupied, the sex intoxicated world in which we're living. In other words, it's an addiction. And in one way, more serious than drugs. Which is so widely indulged in and supported, even encouraged by the laws. This is not easy. I've talked to too many parents. The parents themselves must live a balanced life. And I mean balanced. In a world that is just preoccupied with sex. Now they themselves not appear as queers. Or oddities, or psychos. At the same time, and this is the hard one, at the same time, the parents themselves preserve themselves in their own chastity, especially, and for married people, especially in the virtue of continence, which is internal chastity of mind, thought, and emotion. And consequently, and this is a hard adverb, consequently, exposure to the modern media of communication has got to be very, I don't just say judiciously, but heroically mastered. Otherwise, the law of cause and effect follows. We teach in theology, nihil in intellectu, nisi prius in sensu. There was nothing in the intellect or in the mind which has not previously been in the senses. There is no way, no way, you can have a chaste mind unless you have chaste eyes and chaste ears. And the question is, how? Dear God, how? Living as a priest, 47 years of the priesthood, and now counseling only God knows how many thousands of people. I know people often in the depths of their souls, only heroic persons, by themselves even preserve their purity and chastity, not to say grow in these virtues. And as parents, teach others, is especially not becoming a slave of human respect. Ooh, how well I know. I am too exposed to too many people's opinions. Over the years, I've been called too many names. I've heard too much criticism. A man by the name of Hardin. Not know the price you've got to pay. It's real, but it's great.
Have you written a correspondence course in catechetics? If so, how can we get enrolled?
Well, as you may know, there is a correspondence course that was written originally for the Missionaries of Charity, Mother Teresa's Sisters, which has, by actual count, 2,279 questions, which is quite elaborate. And there are those who are taking the course, and I recommend it. I think there are 12 dioceses now that are taking it. However, I am interested, provided there is a market, provided people are interested. I do have material, both available and could be made available, for correspondence courses on a less sophisticated level in understanding the faith, especially as building on the Catechism of the Catholic Church.
Father Hardin, among the Catholic media today, what are the best and safest sources to be used in instructing children in the faith?
Well, clearly, it is not so much a question of whether it's the printed word, the audio, or the visual, the three main forms of media. It is rather that among these three, where among the established media resources can you find such material as is both safe and, I would say, and effective. Something can be safe but harmless or not just harmless, but ineffective. It can be so bland or prosaic, it does not really touch the spirit. I must say, I have not carefully enough examined, but what I do say is, I think there is a need for finding out what there is, and then, with courage, not going out to try to meet the market. How many souls, I mean it, have been damaged, seriously damaged, because of the money market? In other words, things are published or put on tapes which are harmful. Why? Because otherwise somebody else will beat them to selling to prospective customers. In other words, I think, in fact, I know, having been in this for quite some years, I have told some of you, that Pope Paul VI sent an emissary some 20 years ago to the United States to awaken the Catholics to the need for getting hold of the media to save the church in our country. The emissary came about 3 times to the United States from Rome, spoke English fluently. We met with him, about 10 of us. Most of them chosen for their financial backing, myself for other reasons. The last time that I met this abbot was at dinner in Chicago. And he told me, if anything happens to me, will you take over my mission from Pope Paul VI? And his family was a close friend of the Montinis, the Pope's own family. So, gee, thanks for the compliment, Father, but the Hardens are no close friends of the Montinis. Well, he says, don't worry about that. 2 weeks later, he was found dead in bed. One reason we're here is because, for these years, I have been under that papal directive. Am I clear? The United States Catholics have not begun to exploit the media. This question is a painful examination of conscience. We're not doing what we should do. Most of the media people, even though Catholics, are looking for a market, 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 rather than both investing their efforts and the resources in saving souls. Thanks for the question.
Father Hardin, in your estimation, how is Catholic education not only a preparation, but indeed a precondition for eternal life, as opposed to and distinct from public and secular education? Thank you.
Well, basically then, Catholic education is a preparation for eternity, because without faith, no one will reach heaven. That's the fundamental reason. And faith is a virtue of the intellect. This needs to be underlined, etched in bronze. We believe with the intellect, and therefore, insofar as that faith infused at baptism, the child, say a week old, the faith is there, the capacity for believing, but Catholic education needs to deepen and deepen by making the faith first more understandable, intelligible. Secondly, to make the faith more clear so that one concept is distinct from others. Thirdly, that through Catholic education, the faith is more practicable, put into practice. How do I put my faith to use? Again, Catholic education, so I'll be able to defend my faith. All of this is locked up in Catholic education as a preparation for eternity. And the bottom line is, it's the intellect, the mind, on which either Catholic education concentrates in developing that faith, or it is not Catholic education.
Father Hardin, is it not imperative that every parent read the new catechism of the Catholic Church?
Yes. I would say every Catholic, and surely every Catholic parent, should read the catechism of the Catholic Church. I would add, however, a number of other imperatives. Read, yes. But secondly, reflect on. Don't just read, but think about what you read. Speed reading the catechism is useless. Then meditate on the catechism, which means read the catechism prayerfully.
Father Hardin, what natural advantages do parents have over other teachers in the teaching of their children?
Well, many. First of all, the parents are with the children, and for the mother, the child is within the mother. Talk about an advantage. And that proximity, physical proximity, by the way, is meant to be, it is God's way of indicating the importance of spiritual presence. The closer we are to people physically, it's God's way of telling us the more intimate we should be with those people spiritually. Moreover, the characteristics, we often speak quite casually of children, well, being like parents, external appearances. But there's also a similarity in emotions, in tendencies. In other words, the parents are best equipped before God to teach their children even naturally, because the parents have the experience of dealing with a personality, namely their own, which is somehow duplicated in the offspring whom they now are to train.
Father, can you tell us about people you know who are doing a good job of teaching the faith to children?
Oh, yes. Quite a few. And we are, by the way, making available a handbook just on this subject. I believe as of now we have about over 100 parents reporting. This will be available. And tell us right to eternal life. Inform us you are interested in a handbook on how parents teach their children. I know many such, and you can read for yourselves. It is inspiring and most encouraging for the future. I thank you and pray for you. I ask for your prayers. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.